Hello and welcome to the call. I'm Dotsy Bregel and we're going to get started. I'll start by sharing a little information about how the call will work and then we'll begin our interview. I'd appreciate it if everyone would kindly hit the 6 button on your phone so we can mute all background noises, and that's everyone except our guest. And at the end, I will take a few questions, and at that time, we'll ask those of you who have any questions to push the 6 button so we can hear you. The format for the call is simply that I will interview our guest about overcoming our toxic burden, and when we're finished the interview, we'll open the line for questions. So for those of you who don't know me, I am Dotsy Bregel, founder of the National Association of Baby Boomer Women, which can be found at nabbw.com, and also boomerwomenspeak.com, the number one sites on major search engines for baby boomer women. I am passionate about educating and empowering boomer women, which happens to be my generation of women. Since launching Boomer Women Speak 5 years ago, I've been connecting, encouraging, and supporting boomer women on a daily basis. I have my finger on the pulse of this spirited generation, and I dedicate a great portion of my time to creating opportunities that inspire women to explore their passions and live life to the fullest. This call happens to be the third in our series titled Healthy Livin' for Boomer Women. Be certain to follow your newsletters and updates to learn about next month's series when we'll focus on boomer entrepreneurs. All right, we have a little surprise this evening. Deborah Haynes, who was supposed to be doing our call, had a mandatory meeting to attend this evening, so we're sorry that she can't be with us, but fortunately, she was kind enough to have one of her colleagues do this teleseminar for her and for us. So I want to thank Dr. Michelle Fisher. Are you there, Dr. Fisher?
I am.
Great. I just want to thank you for filling in on such short notice, because I know this just happened on Sunday. So thank you very much.
And you're welcome.
I understand that you're known for your dynamic presentations on this topic, so I'm excited to hear what you have to say, because frankly, this is a topic that I don't know a whole lot about, I'm embarrassed to say. So I'm really looking forward to learning quite a bit this evening. So I'd like to tell you a little bit about Dr. Fisher. She received her BS, MS in biochemistry with honors from Stanford University in 1975, her MD from the University of Wisconsin in 1980, and her residency in general surgery from UCSF, St. Mary's Hospital in San Francisco in 1985. She specialized in women's health and integrative complementary medicine since 1992. She is currently the medical director of the Anti-Aging and Vitality Clinic in Atlanta, Georgia. The focus of the clinics opening in major cities around the country is boomer health from the inside out. And some of you might remember that we had Dr. Hooligan, who is also from the Anti-Aging and Vitality Clinic, talk to us just, I guess, about a week ago. And we were very pleased with everything that she was able to tell us about bioidentical hormones. And so we're looking forward to this evening's call, too. You can find out more about these clinics and this business at antiagingandvitality.com. Dr. Fisher characterizes her practice method as fostering wellness from within because it is proactive and patient-centered, it's root cause versus symptom-focused, and wellness fostering versus disease treatment-oriented. And I think this is something that is going to be very big with boomers and something that boomers are really buying into, because we're very interested in being proactive and doing as much preventive medicine as we can. And I think some of that has to do with us having watched our parents' generation and actually even caring for our parents at this point in time in our lives and seeing, you know, how sometimes they have to be reactive and just dealing with some of the things that maybe they haven't been addressing through the years. So hopefully some of what we'll learn this evening will help us. Her passion and mission is to empower her clients with the tools to optimize their wellness and promote healthy aging. So welcome to the call, Dr. Fisher, and thanks for your time for being with us this evening.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I'm glad I could fill in for Deborah. We're a team, and we are always happy to provide information. So I'm looking forward to this interview, and let's get started.
Okay, anything you want to tell us about your centers?
Well, our centers are beginning to expand. We currently have three of them, and our intention is to have them in all large cities to provide a networking of services to promote healthy aging, or more of a holistic approach to how to optimize one's health. It's thinking outside the box and providing a new approach to health care, and I like to think of it as well care versus sick care, mm-hmm. which is when most people enter the system. In traditional medicine. So we like to do a lot of preventative medicine and provide what standard medical care is not providing.
Very good. And when did the first one open? I'm just curious to...
The first one opened in July of 06 Cleveland,
mm-hmm.
followed by Atlanta in January of 07. And Dallas opened last week. So that's where we are right now, and we're looking to expand as the needs and opportunities arise.
Very good. It sounds like a perfect timing for all the boomers who are entering midlife and retirement and becoming more concerned about health issues.
Absolutely. Our motto is kind of... for boomers, by boomers, because most of us are in that category. So we like to empower them to take better care of themselves, and it's a very rewarding type approach. And I'm hoping, and you know, with the internet savvy people, they're connecting and they do their due diligence, and they
mm-hmm.
come to me looking for what we're providing, and hopefully we live up to their expectations.
That's great. That's so exciting when you feel like you can fill the need and do a great job at it and really help
difference.
People. Right, and make a difference. Exactly. Well, tonight we're talking about overcoming our toxic burden. So if you wouldn't mind just by starting with, you know, what a toxin is or a toxic compound.
Well, you know, it's something that the body doesn't want, for sure, and it can come from the outside or it can come from the inside. It can be anything from, you know, a foreign protein, an invading organism, preservatives, anything that's introduced in the body or actually produced by the body that causes injury or malfunction in some way. You know, you can call it a poison or otherwise, but there are some endogenous toxins that we produce just as a cost of living. You know, our free radicals and our oxidative byproducts. And the body has some built-in mechanisms to help neutralize those, but we can certainly overwhelm the body by either putting in too much or unknowingly absorbing too much or failing to excrete. Are endogenously generated toxins in an efficient manner, and we'll talk a little more about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I know that you say that there are toxic products all around us. What are some of the major environmental offenders? Like, what you know, give us some clues here.
Well, you know, you have to, if you're talking about things from the outside, you know,
right.
you look at some critical elements that are essential for life, and then you begin to ask questions about what the quality of those things that are essential for life are, and they're things like the air and the food and the water.
Mm-hmm.
We have increasing industrial waste, byproducts, pesticides, herbicides, you know, volatile organic compounds, heavy metals, plastic byproducts, medications that are in our water, food additives, cosmetic additives. And so all of these sources can be add to this toxic burden, and our body has to deal with it. And we do a pretty good job if we provide the proper nutrients, vitamins, and minerals for detoxification, but we certainly can overwhelm the system. And many of them disrupt our hormonal systems and our bodily functions so that we don't do it as efficiently as we should.
Sure. Well, do you mind if I go through some of them and you tell me what we can do to figure out whether or not we have those toxins?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. For instance, tap water. What do you recommend for tap water?
Don't drink it.
Not even with a filter or?
Well, the more you filter it, the better it is.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the reports from the CDC as to what is actually in tap water, it's pretty amazing what's there and what they don't filter out. You know, they're really not required to filter out anything except for something that's going to make you immediately sick.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of things pass through those screening mechanisms, and you don't even know they're there, and you take them in. The CDC said the number one contaminant are reproductive hormones in the form of byproducts from birth control pills. Well, that's great. That's great if you need contraception, but what if you don't and it's not a controlled situation and people are unknowingly ingesting these reproductive hormones that disrupt their own internal systems. Big time, and you don't need to have that. Plus, there's insect repellents, mm-hmm. and industrial waste and just fragrances, solvents, detergents. All of these things may seem fairly innocuous, diluted down because you don't taste it. But they wreak havoc with a lot of the bodily functions, and many act like hormones in the body. And they disrupt your own natural systems. Sperm count has decreased about 40 or 50% in the last 20 years. That's not genetic. That's environmental.
Right.
Because these hormones are telling people, telling the body not to make hormones because they're seeing an overload.
Mm-hmm.
Infertility has risen seemingly astronomically. Things like endometriosis, it used to be a rare thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now it seems almost common, and people are suffering from it. And I don't think it's just because we're now talking about it and we weren't talking about it before. This toxic burden from the environment is starting to take its toll.
And there are studies that can link these things to these issues, that can link the toxicity to these issues.
Absolutely.
Right.
And the thing is our policing agencies are overburdened. They only spot check things because it's just not enough hours in the day. And many of them do not have your best interest in mind, in the sense that they're being supported. Many of the studies are being supported by the actual companies that are making things which might be harmful for you. And the bottom line is really what the issue is for most of these large industries. And so the tests are designed not necessarily to look at all-cause toxicity, but to show some positive effect of their product.
Right, right.
And so sometimes they miss the toxicities, or the toxicities don't occur in the 2-year or 3-year study.
Mm-hmm.
And then it brings up the whole issue is that, they do these in adults, and what about the developing in utero and the young children that have minimal ability to detoxify these things and are infinitely more sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's a lot of issues about environmental toxins that we haven't even scratched the surface on.
Okay, well, let me ask you about one that was in the list, and that was the cosmetic additives, because I know there was one of those emails flying around the internet about lipsticks, and I'm sure you
lead.
Yes, lipsticks and lead. And so, I mean, since this is a women's association.
I did a little bit of searching on that, and I kept getting sort of conflicting results.
Oh, okay.
You know, in terms of actual hard data.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently they use lead in some of these lipsticks, and the darker the color of the lipstick, mm-hmm. the more likely it is to be in there. But let's just, even aside from lipstick, you know, the average woman probably uses 10 to 12 or even more body products on herself every
mm-hmm.
day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in the form of soaps, fragrances, skin creams, makeup, etc. And they have, if you read the labels on those cosmetics, they have known products that are known in studies to cause cancer in animals, and yet they continue to put them in them.
And what do you know, well, I'm sure you know, but what some of those things are we should look for when we're looking at labels?
Absolutely. For instance, parabens. You will find parabens in, I'd say, 90 to 95% of personal care products.
And is that P-E-R-I-V-E-N-S?
P-A-R-A-B-E-N-S.
P-A-R-A-B-E-N-S. Okay, parabens. Okay.
And it's used as an emulsifier, you know, like in creams and shampoos
mm-hmm.
and soaps and things like that to keep things in solutions, and also as some, I think, as a preservative. And that has been shown in studies to cause cancer in animals, but yet they're still in there.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll find, you know, you'll find all sorts of things. You'll find mineral oils, you know, those are animal byproducts. If you can't put the stuff, if you can't eat the stuff, you probably shouldn't put it on your skin, because your skin is your biggest organ.
Right, right. So, and that's a good point.
You're smearing all this stuff all over your body,
ugh.
And you're putting chemicals on your nails, you're putting fragrances that are chemicals, you're using soaps that are chemicals, shampoos, et cetera, and you absorb a lot of that.
Oh, gosh, I'm beginning to feel sick.
And, you know, your water, back to the water issue, is, you know, you shower. Most people wouldn't drink tap water today, I think. They're pretty savvy in thinking that maybe that's not in their best interest.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they drink bottled water. Well, that's okay, as long as that bottled water isn't in a plastic that's gotten hot and the plastic is leached into their water.
Yes, I've seen that run around the internet also.
And it's true, you know, and even the big plastic bottles sit on the trucks in 100-degree weather sometime, and, the water is, you should never microwave in plastic, but because it isn't inert, and it does leach into whatever it is that you're cooking or drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And if you shower in tap water, you know, it's hot water, your pores dilate, it's a large surface area, we give hormones all the time across the skin, so it's very efficient at absorbing these fat-soluble hormones and chemicals, and your pores dilate, and, you know, the estimate is if you shower for about 10 minutes, it's like drinking 8 to 10 glasses of tap water. And most people wouldn't do that. So, you know, you can minimize the toxic burden by reading the labels, and avoiding those products have been known to cause problems. And there are so many of them. There's the Environmental Working Group, which is EWG.com,
mm-hmm.
is a very good source of a consumer awareness of potentially harmful things in products.
Okay, that's a great site, EWG.com.
EWG.com, and they also, if you / I think tap water or some link in that site
mm-hmm.
and put your city in it, it'll tell you what some of the major contaminants are in your municipal water.
Okay.
But you need to take it, if you will, very carefully, because realize that what is the minimal amount of something that is going to cause a problem? Well, it depends on what your vulnerability is And certainly children have lower thresholds for problems and decreased ability to metabolize these toxins. And to carry it a step further, the in utero children are even more sensitive, because a little bit of the wrong thing at the wrong time can influence how someone is going to develop. And so they do these thresholds for what they think is safe, and they keep lowering the thresholds as they find there's problems. But it depends on how much you eat or drink or breathe of these things and what your exposure is. So it's kind of a scary thought, because they accumulate over time, and many of them are fat soluble, and you store them in your fat cells. So as you start, say, for instance, losing weight or mobilizing that fat for energy, you know, you have a flood of these toxins which have been stored away in your fat cells. That's why people, you know, flood into your bloodstream.
Right.
That's why many people don't feel well when they start fasting or detoxing, if you will, because they start mobilizing a lot of these heavy metals and fat-soluble things that your body has so nicely tried to store away from you.
Right, and this is, we're going to get into this in a little bit, talking about how to detoxify and, you know, just try to understand better the term heavy metals. And I know that it's just becoming bigger and bigger all the time, because I think, you know, you're doing things like this to help spread this information, and people are becoming curious and wanting to learn more. If you've just entered the call, if you'd be kind enough to press the 6 button to so we don't hear any background noises, we'd appreciate it. Okay. One thing I wanted to mention to you is some of the foods that are better. You know, there's a list of like 43 fruits and vegetables, and which ones are the worst, and kind of work our way up to the best. But before that, I also want to ask you about aspartame, because that's another thing that, you know, we've heard a lot about, read about in newspapers and magazines, and again, those forwarding things on the internet. And I just kind of wanted to get, you know, your thought on that.
Okay, so you want me to address aspartame first? I'd be happy to.
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind just doing that. I'm kind of curious about that.
Because
we have two diabetics in our family. And so, you know, we've done a lot of aspartame.
Well, I believe passionately that it's a very toxic substance.
Okay.
I think it's neurotoxic to the brain.
Mm-hmm.
People that eat a lot of it can actually have neurologic symptoms very similar to MS, multiple sclerosis.
Mm-hmm.
I think was approved in less than optimal situations where the long-term studies just really weren't done. It actually, you know, people are using it because of the sugar issues, but in fact, it actually makes one more hungry and causes huge fluctuations in blood sugar, and often makes people eat more than they would if they were not eating it, because it makes you hungry, because it lowers your blood sugar when you eat aspartame, because you get an insulin surge, only there's no insulin, I mean, there's no sugar there. So you get hypoglycemic, and it makes you hungry. There's been 2 or 3 recent articles about aspartame and how it's associated with actual weight gain to be using a large portion of it. Hmm. It's been shown in animals to cause cancers, brain tumors, some hematologic or lymphoma type things. It's evil. If you really want to read a good book about artificial sweeteners, the name of the book is Sweet Deception, and it goes over a lot of them, because most of them have issues. The only safe artificial sweetener that I recommend to my patients is stevia, which is a root.
Right, and I've heard of that. Yeah.
And I, in my research, have not found any negatives to stevia.
Okay, that's good. I'm glad to get
but
that
Splenda,
information.
Splenda is slightly better than aspartame, but mm-hmm. it causes some problems in the endocrine system and decreases mm-hmm. thyroid conversion to an active form, and so it's really an issue. And so, you know, what do you do? Well, personally, I would say if you really want something sweet, try stevia. If that doesn't work for you, then use a little bit of sugar. In other words, cultivate a less sweet tooth so you're not eating as much sugar, and use raw natural sugar when you do use it, because it's far less sweet than your standard Purify Cloroxed sugar that's going to be on the table.
Right.
Because they literally put Clorox to bleach that sugar, and that's why it's white. And that chlorine is not a good issue either with your thyroid and other functions in your body. So things in moderation, you know, eat raw sugar if you must, and don't eat very much of it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, you know, just can't get by not having a sweet taste, then, you know, try stevia, because it really doesn't taste bad, and it provides sweetness that I know of no negatives.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Very good. Now, let's talk a little bit about the fruits and vegetables. I'm sure you would want everyone to buy organic if you can afford it, if it's in your area and in your local stores, which it seems to be more and more all the time. But I understand that there is a list of fruits and vegetables, and I know it's pretty long.
Well, that website that I mentioned
mm-hmm.
Can expand upon it.
Okay.
Which is the EWG, that's the Environmental Working Group,
mm-hmm.
nonprofit organization to inform the public on what's good or bad or otherwise for you. And it's just a wealth of information. But basically, you have to think about, well, do you eat the skin? Do you peel the fruit? What is the agriculture involved in producing the fruit? And, you know, some of it might be obvious and other might not be so obvious. But
mm-hmm.
if you go to the EWG.com, it will give you kind of from the highest to the lowest the fruits and vegetables in terms of contamination. And some of it you might figure out on your own, and others you might not. But eating organic is the place to start.
Mm-hmm.
Peeling your fruit is helpful, but sometimes, you know, that pulp and fiber is good for you. So if you're going to eat the skin, you might definitely think about getting it organic. And pretty much nowadays you can start to get organic even in your standard grocery stores. They cost a little more, but it's worth it. You know, you're worth it because you're putting these toxins in your body unbeknowing, and you have to deal with it.
Right, and you know, I remember looking at that list. Deborah shared it with me,
mm-hmm.
and I was so disappointed because so many of the fruits and vegetables that are in a typical diet are some of the worst ones, like apples and
strawberries.
Lettuce and strawberries, and I think grapes was high, and even spinach was high.
Well, when you get these beautiful, colorful, no blemishes, gorgeous
right.
in the market, the cost is that they have put fungicides and pesticides and waxes, and I hate to even think about what else, on them so that
right.
they look perfect. Who's ever gone out and picked an apple off of a tree out in, you know, in the forest or in an orchard that's homegrown? You know, they don't look perfect like that.
Exactly, exactly.
Because they don't typically, when you're growing it in your backyard, you're not flooding them with all these toxins that agribusiness will do. Because people are not going to buy a piece of fruit that doesn't look perfect if there's a perfect one next to it. But that's not in your best interest. And so if you go to that site, but, I mean, basically peaches, apples, sweet bell peppers, strawberries, you know, they're at the top of the list of contaminated fruits.
That's right. That's right. You want to tell us a few of the ones that have the least contamination?
Certainly.
And then, of course, we can look it up ourselves. But
yeah, they'll have that site has a whole list of about the top 45 from high to low. And, you know, at the good end of the thing is pineapples, mango, avocados, onions, kiwis, bananas, cabbage, broccoli, those kind of things, blueberries.
Good. Yeah, asparagus, I remember being on there, too. I was
and
like
at the contaminated end of the scale are the peaches, apples, bell peppers, celery, nectarines, grapes, pears, green beans, and we're getting down cucumbers. It really depends on if you buy locally. That's another option. If you buy in the regional farmers, a lot of them are way different. The small farmers, they're way different than what large, huge agribusiness would put on their products.
Right. So shop your farmer's market.
Yeah, farmer's locally grown, organic when you have a choice and can afford it. All of those things would be in your best interest. And anything that you do is going to decrease your toxic load.
Okay, now I know we've talked, you know, it just sounds like there's toxicity all around us. It's like we're breathing it and but oh, I know, I did have one other question before we move on to how to, you know, to detoxify. What about cosmetics that you can recommend or lotions or what products? I've seen Origins is in...
Well, if you look at Origins, as I recall, the last time I picked it up, it had methylparabens in it, which turned me off to the whole product line.
Oh, okay. Okay, I thought maybe they were a natural.
If you typically, you know, if you look and you read the labels, you will find some of the things that are most of issue, which have things, you know, they have fancy chemical names, but parabens and formaldehydes, those are ethylene glycol, you know, that's like antifreeze. They actually put that in cosmetics.
Okay.
And so if you look, you will see those things in there, and you when you start with an organic, from like in the health food stores, like in Whole Foods,
pretty
much all over,
right.
They tend to carry organic skincare products and makeups.
Okay.
That you're way far ahead if you start there, even if you don't remember the names of any of the things.
Right.
Because they can't put animal byproducts, they can't put known toxins in those organic things. Not natural. The word natural could mean a whole lot of things. But if they say 100% organic, you'll be way ahead.
Okay.
And parabens are like the worst. They are in just about everything. And, you know, phthalates are another one that's with a PH, phthalates. You know, they're basically plastics, and you'll find them in nail polish, you'll find them in lipsticks, and they are pretty much required, you know, to list the ingredients. So if you look and you read the labels, you'll be way far ahead. Another very good website for looking for natural skincare products is Mercola.com.
You want to spell that?
Yes, it's Mercola. .com.
Okay. And I'm familiar with Melaleuca products. Are you familiar with Melaleuca?
Just in the sense that I've had a couple of patients talk about them, but I haven't actually had the ingredient list to look at them.
Okay, because from what I understand, that's a good place to start, especially for cleaning products around the home.
Well, most even regular grocery stores will have an area of environmentally friendly, if you will, green products. There's several different names. And if you go to that section, they often will have, you know, natural toothpaste, skin products, cleaning products, because these things are, many of these chemicals are volatile and you inhale them.
Mm-hmm.
And our home is pretty toxic. when you think about all the cleaning fluids and waxes and bleaches and really caustic stuff that we use to clean bathrooms and things of that sort.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we stick our head in the shower and spray bleach all over there, and, you know, we're inhaling that. Plus, every time we take a hot shower, we inhale some more chlorine. So, you know, it will fade the paint above your shower.
Right.
Look, if you have dark paint above your shower and the water condenses on there, you'll look up there and your paint will actually fade just like you have sprayed bleach on it, because you have.
Right. Well, let's move on a little bit so we can get into the detoxification and learn, you know, how we can help ourselves, because we're running out of time, actually.
Okay.
But if you could, before we do that, just tell us a little bit about the toxic burden and chronic illnesses. Like maybe, you know, there's an increased toxic load that's a major factor in what chronic diseases. Like I know, of course, cancer, but what other, I would guess allergies, but else?
Allergies certainly play a role in, toxins play a role in allergies. Not having a healthy gut plays a role in allergies because you reabsorb. Maybe we should talk about how you detoxify things, and then you'll have some idea of what's going on and why. If our body worked perfectly and we didn't overburden it,
mm-hmm,
with a lot of environmental toxins, we have enough built-in mechanisms by exhaling, sweating, urinating out and defecating to get rid of most of our toxins, because we have pathways to make them less toxic and to make them water soluble and to be able to get rid of them. But the problem is that that's energy and vitamin dependent. So if you eat poorly, you don't have the tools to do that. And the toxic load from the outside and basically our toxic lifestyle, you know, our food is increasingly processed, so it doesn't have the nutrients in it.
Mm-hmm.
We add more to it by eating fast foods that have things that the body hardly even knows what to do with. Most of the food has been processed and killed, so we don't have enzymes to absorb it. So we're nutrient deprived, and it requires nutrients to detoxify things.
So then why don't you tell us what detoxification is and how we can actually do that?
Well, first of all, you minimize the exposure, which
okay,
is what we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to not put any more in there so that you reduce the load. Then you want to eat things that are going to provide the nutrients and good energy so that these processes happen efficiently as far as detoxification, because it requires processing in the liver. You know, your body has to take the chemical that it wants to get rid of, and it has to go through a two-phase process to allow you to excrete it. And in fact, if you only go part way, because let's say you don't have the nutrients to do it, sometimes that first step actually makes the molecule more toxic.
Hmm.
So starting with good food sources with minimal toxic load, taking just a good quality vitamin, mineral, antioxidant vitamin supplement on a daily basis.
Okay, can you recommend one?
Well, they should be pharmaceutical grade, and there are many options out there.
Okay.
But they should have, you know, USP, the United States Pharmacopeia, or GMP, the Good Manufacturing Seal, GMP. You know, they should say pharmaceutical grade or have one of those seals, which means that they have been independently evaluated.
Okay.
By agencies that have no connections to the company. In
mm-hmm.
other words, the companies have voluntarily supplied their products for evaluation independently, and they've been assayed for purity, potency, and bioavailability, how quickly they get into the body. and for other toxins. So natural, good pharmaceutical vitamins typically aren't coated, don't have colorings, don't have binders. They're in multiple tablets per day.
Right.
And you've got some objective assessment of how good are they. Someone has looked at it independently.
Okay, well, you know, this is interesting to me, this whole detoxification thing, because, you know, okay, eat healthier, be more aware of the toxins, you know, you're putting into your body. Take
drink
the vitamins.
Lots of purified water.
Okay, and drinking the water, doing the vitamins and minerals. But now I have a friend who lives in Silicon Valley. She recently told me that she is loaded with heavy metal, and she is going through this detoxification program. And tell me what exactly she means by that. Because, I mean, how do we find out if we have this toxic burden?
Well, you could first of all do some testing to see if you have heavy metals.
Okay.
You can look for the obvious culprits. They have, many laboratories have panels that will look at heavy metals and tell you whether you're in a safe zone or a not-so-safe zone, or you can have a different approach.
Mm-hmm.
You can assume that you're contaminated, because most of the studies that have looked at body fats, which most of these are fat-soluble, most of the toxins and heavy metals get stored away in your fat, and you do fat biopsies on humans, and they're basically 100% contaminated with the top 50 carcinogens that are listed by the CDC. So we're all contaminated, so you can pretty much assume that you're contaminated.
Okay, but should we know the level of that contamination? And is this a question
that... Well, it depends on what your side effects and your injuries are and what's going on. You know, a standard heavy metal panel is a good thing to do.
Okay, and is that something that when we go for a routine checkup, we can ask our medical doctor to run that test?
Yeah, you can ask them. They may not do it. They may tell you that... You know, it's useless to do that, but I certainly don't believe that. I think the biggest ones here are like arsenic and lead and mercury. You know, they're used in fungicides and pesticides and wood preservatives, and our groundwater gets contaminated, and they even put them on grains to preserve them so they don't mold. And so, yeah, I'm talking about heavy metals. They
Right.
actually put these on your food.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're neurotoxic, they've been shown to cause cancer. So what do we do? Well, you need to provide the body with the tools to detoxify, mm-hmm. and that is good exercise, because you breathe off volatile stuff when
mm-hmm.
you deep breathe, have your ideal body weight be close to your ideal body weight, so you're not storing a lot of this extra baggage that is containing toxins.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have excellent bowel function, mm-hmm. Because you need to eliminate your bowel is your biggest route pretty much of eliminating all these toxins. So you want to eliminate consistently every day, and eating more fiber, drinking more water, and having good bowel function goes a long way in helping you get rid of your toxins.
So if this is all natural then, is there anything that, I'm just curious, that you give to your patients to help them detoxify?
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, it's a comprehensive, all-inclusive program that says don't put anything in your body that you don't have to put in there. Provide your body with the nutrients that are involved in these detoxification pathways in your liver, eating lots of greens, preferably organic, you know,
mm-hmm.
things like wheatgrass and chlorella and things that detoxify
right.
your body. You can take it a step further. You can go and have colonics, you know, which helps you, you know, make your gut work more efficiently.
And tell me what that is, colonic?
A colonic where you have a purge with, you know, with like a kind of a cleansing of your bowel.
Okay.
With a large volume of water, because you know, things get kind of stuck to the wall, and then you get inflammation, and then the barrier between your bowel and your body turns out to be broken down, and you reabsorb a lot of the toxins. So a healthy gut is one of the pillars to having a healthy body.
Right.
Because if it's not healthy, you're not going to be healthy. So, you know, the primary detoxification process takes place in the liver. And so you don't want to put toxins that are going to impede your liver. In other
words,
don't drink too much. Don't take things like Tylenol, which are really hard on the liver. Don't take a lot of pharmaceuticals that you don't have to take. You know, every time you have a headache, you don't need to go take 4 ibuprofen. You know, all of those things your body has to deal with. And when they're busy dealing with those things, they're not busy dealing with your toxins that you might have unknowingly been exposed to.
Right.
So you want to just reduce the load so that the body can efficiently handle what it's exposed to. But there are some endogenous toxins that are produced just by the way you live. You know, you eat foods, you create energy from your foods, and you have some byproducts. But if you eat better foods, you don't eat bad fats, you eat good fats, a lot more efficient because you get a lot of energy and you don't have very many byproducts from good foods. But if you eat saturated fats and a lot of trans fats, the process is not very efficient. And there's a lot of inflammation involved when you eat those kind of foods because they go down different pathways and they make a lot of inflammatory factors. So it isn't as simple. I don't have a silver bullet. You have to do all of these things for optimal functioning of these systems. More fiber, more water, don't put so much in there, exercise, don't eat tons and tons of protein and animal fats because some of the biggest contaminants are animal protein because they feed these animals an incredible amount of hormones as well as antibiotics often to keep them lack of disease. And when we ingest them, you turn around and that becomes you because you're taking those in. And so you got to deal with those too.
Right.
So you don't want to put that in there in large amounts. And so eating less animal protein is good. There's a lot of hormones in dairy products if you don't eat organic. So, I'm back to the same thing.
Right.
Don't put any more in your body than you have to. Think about it. Think about what you put in your body. And
right.
Give your body the tools and the nutrients with a good quality supplements to help metabolize these things efficiently.
So it's just an awareness, really, I think, that just listening this evening has raised my awareness. And then, you know, when we come across these things, then we can pay more attention and make a choice.
But absolutely.
Yeah. One other thing I wanted to address, and then I have a couple questions that I've received by email. What about green tea? We keep hearing green tea is good for you. What do you think of that?
Oh, I agree with that.
You agree with that. Now, what about?
Well, let me elaborate on that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Green tea contains antioxidants that are enormously helpful in the body in detoxification pathways and also the neutralization of toxins.
Mm-hmm.
So, green tea is a very good.
Excuse me, one second. If you've just entered the call, if you'd be kind enough to push the 6 button so we can't hear the background noises, I'd appreciate it. Thank you. Okay, go ahead.
So I'd say drink green tea. 2 or 3 cups a day have been shown to decrease your risk of cancer and other inflammatory diseases. All of aging is basically a couple of processes. You know, it's inflammation and oxidation. And oxidation is are byproducts that want to damage your cells. And they may be toxins or they may be produced as a cost of generating energy. But if you don't have enough antioxidants to neutralize these oxidants, they will bind to your proteins, your DNA, and cause dysfunction, cause errors to be made in DNA transcription. And so you want to eat the types of foods that are rich in these antioxidants, and they would be all the pigmented vegetables, you know, things that are colorful.
Right.
And tea, and there is resveratrol in red wine, but, you know, too much of a good thing can actually be bad, so you don't want to go overboard in that.
Sure.
Plus the alcohol in itself is a little bit of a toxin. So
right.
You're better off taking it perhaps as a supplement than drinking a bottle of red wine every day.
Sure. Now let me just ask you about the green tea, because the green tea, I mean, you can get it decaffeinated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and do you recommend recommend
the caffeine? You know, it depends on how sensitive you are to caffeine. Caffeine does produce some acidity in the body, and it will rev you up a bit. But the type of caffeine in green tea is probably safer than the type of caffeine in tea. But you can get it decaffeinated. The stuff is still got the antioxidants in it.
Okay. And do you recommend any certain brand? Because there's so many out on the market. I just didn't know if some of them are watered down or sugared.
Tea. I'd look for an organic beverage.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay, now that takes me to one of the questions that we got via email, and that's this organic question about some things are organically grown and some are labeled certified organically grown. What is the difference, and why should there be two, and why shouldn't they all just be certified?
Well, it's one step further. When you get certified, it means an independent agency has come out to your farm or whatever and tested the soil and tested the products, and there's no residues of anything. You know, you can take and garden organically, but if you're in contaminated soil, you're in trouble. You know, so they actually come out and certify through a whole different process, you know, that things are the way they should be.
Okay.
So it's just an agency that no doubt the farmer has to pay to have the certification, but it's just one step further.
Right. Okay. Okay. And so then it's okay to just buy the organically grown.
Well, the more certification pretty much that you have, the higher degree of integrity you have for that label.
Right.
But there are some penalties if you call something organic that isn't.
Okay. All right. Well, that's helpful. That's helpful. Okay. And now just the other email question that came through has to do with bottled water.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the bottled water in plastic bottles and the temperature of it sitting in trucks, et cetera. So do you believe that bottled water is good for you if it's in a plastic bottle?
I think that it's better than tap water.
Right.
And they're not all created equal. There have been some studies that show that some of them aren't any better than the tap water that they're replacing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have to sort of, the best water is, you know, either distilled water or mm-hmm. reverse osmosis water, and, you know, but not everybody can afford to have either machines to do that or to have a whole house water purifier. But that's going to be your purest water. If stuff sits in plastic, I'm telling you, it's not inert. It does not, it's not like glass.
And I'm not aware if there are bottled, glass bottled water. There are.
Pellegrino.
Oh, right.
And
okay.
The still version, which is called Panna, comes in glass bottles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, they are, glass is much more inert than
right.
plastic. The softer the plastic is, the more pliable, and therefore the more likely to leach into the water. And these Nageline or Nageline bottles, you know, they were the answer because they were harder, but they have been shown to be toxic as well. So, you know, you got to look at it as the lesser of the evils, and I definitely would drink bottled water over anything out of any tap.
Okay, but that's a good point. That's a good point. Okay, we are just about out of time. Let me just see if anyone on the call has a question to ask, and I'm not sure that they will because okay. We've received a couple through email. But does anybody on the call have a question? And if so, you'd have to push the 6 button so we could hear you. Does anyone have a question?
Hi, this is Joyce. I have a question.
Sure, go ahead, Joyce.
I'm in the middle of a detox right now, and I'm always...
Wait a minute, Joyce, if you can speak up a little bit, we're having a hard time hearing you.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, that's great.
Okay. I'm in the middle of a detox right now, and my question is, should I stop other supplements and vitamins, because aren't they getting just washed away when you're...
Well, I don't know what they're providing you for detox, because it's sometimes the detoxification, as I mentioned, detoxification process is very vitamin and mineral and nutrient dependent. So sometimes the things that they are using to detox you are high potency vitamins, full of B vitamins and full of herbs and things that are going to detoxify you. And so they kind of take the place of your supplements for the week or 2 weeks or whatever, how long your detoxification regimen is. So you have to know what you're taking for detox to be able to answer the question as to whether you should take your vitamins in addition to that.
Yeah, what I'm taking does replace also, but it doesn't replace everything that I'm taking.
Well,
it does.
It depends on whether you're taking, 20 supplements versus what you're talking about is a vitamin mineral antioxidant. I would say you can't really hurt yourself by taking them in addition to your detox. But if you're taking a huge high potency cleanse detoxification regimen, that's all you need to take. But there are hundreds of different approaches to this, and you really got to know what you're taking. Typically, you have to have a balanced functional food so that you have some protein so your body will use your fat to produce energy, and that's where your toxins are going to come from, because they're mostly stored in your fat cells. If you don't give the body a little bit of protein in this process, most typically, it will not efficiently use fat for energy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Did that help, Joyce?
Yes.
Okay, good. Well, thanks for asking. Mm-hmm. And does anyone else have a question? And if so, speak up. Okay. But I just wanted to ask you, of course, something that Joyce said made me think of another question that people on the call might be curious about. And that is these, you hear about these different cleanses. You read about them in magazines and that type of thing. Do you recommend doing those cleanses?
I think you need to do some due diligence before you do them.
Okay.
And often it's much more to your advantage to have a functional medicine doctor supervise or be your consultant when you're doing these things. Because sometimes if you're truly, really toxic, you may not feel well, and you need to know that.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to have someone be able to answer your questions. And most of the time they would have their own personal regimens that are proven to them and safe, and they know how people are going to react and they're comfortable with what they're using, as opposed to saying go to X store and buy a cleanse.
Right.
I don't think that's a good idea.
Yeah, because I would think that you could really deplete yourself and of a lot of nutrients and probably become sick as a result of doing that.
Well, sometimes people, when they're self-diagnosing and medicating, it's because they don't feel well, and you need to rule out a few things before you put someone through a significant cleanse, because maybe they're not well enough at this particular time to do that. Maybe you need to fix some other issues before you do that, because it can, like you say, it can stir up other issues, and you need some guidance with it. So I wouldn't advise people doing big-time 1-2 week cleanses without some guidance from a medical standpoint.
Okay, very good. Well, Dr. Fisher, it has been a pleasure. I've learned a tremendous amount. I can't wait to share it with my friends and my family. And I just wanted to know if you have anything else you want to leave us with, any resources, anything on your sites that you'd like to send us to, any last pieces of information.
Well, truly you can use our website as a resource, which is antiagingandvitality.com, and it's all spelled out, including the and,
right.
Because it'll give you an idea of what we do. Those other two websites that I provided are great resources. They don't cost anything to visit or to join, and they have just an amazing amount of information. But everyone needs to do the things that they know they need to do, and that is to eat well, to sleep, to drink 8 to 10 glasses of water per day, to take nutrient supplements because we just can't get what we need from our food, to reduce stress, and to exercise. You know, if you do all of those things, which are pretty simple, you would be way far ahead, and because all of health begins from within, from the inside out, and if you nurture your body, it can take care of just about anything.
Wow, that's a great thought to leave us with. Thank you very much. And
my pleasure.
Yes, I really appreciate you filling in. You did a wonderful job, and I'll be in touch.
All right.
All right, thank you. Have a great evening.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye.